Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
What's a normal time to wake up?
Get up already.
Apparently this morning Colleen saw an elderly couple fully dressed outside taking a walk with their dogie at 6:30 a.m. sharp. And she thought that was a little early. So she wants
that's
you
to, really early to me.
She would like you to weigh in on that question. What's a normal time to wake up? 651-641-1071. Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of the Colleen and Bradley Show. This is the most important conversation you will have all day if you're awake. Colleen, why are we asking this question?
I've been thinking about this a lot, right? Because everybody sort of has their sweet spot. And there's no wrong answer to this question. What is a normal time to wake up? 651-641-1071. And it struck me this morning when I saw an elderly retired couple at 6:30 a.m. walking their dog out my kitchen window that I thought to myself, that feels so early. They were fully dressed head to toe. And I am a person who likes to have at least one cup of coffee in my pajamas before I do anything. Like, I roll out of bed and that is the sweetest part of my day.
Yeah.
Jammy coffee time. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, if this couple had jammy coffee time, they had that at like 5:45. And that felt
earlier.
Wrong because they're retired. And I thought, that's too early. But everybody has a different answer. 651-641-1071. What's a normal time to wake up in the morning? Also, like, what also is too late? Because I think that's a great question, too. Like, for example, if I wake up after 9, if I'm going to sleep in, it's going to be till like 8:30. That's sleeping in for me. Because you roll up on 9 o'clock, half your day's gone.
So what to you is a normal time to wake up every day?
Well, see, I've been experimenting with that because I'm trying to get 8 hours of sleep a night. Oh, I know I lead a very exciting life.
I mean, good luck to you. It's hard to get 8 hours of sleep in this world.
It's not easy. Yeah. And so if I'm going to back time it and I allow for like some restlessness and maybe a couple visits to the restroom, I'm typically getting out of bed at about 6:30. Mm-hmm. But again, I like a slow start to my morning. So I need to have jammy coffee, have some time for brekkie.
Everything by a breeze.
Well, because I got to save time by a breeze. You got to cram a lot into a day.
651-641-1071. What is a normal time to wake up, quote unquote? I mean, it just, to me, it changes over time, right? Like your life presents you with all different opportunities to wake up in the morning. So, you know, when you're young, you can't get up for anything. I mean, my God, I used to remember sleeping in until 10, 11 a.m. Like, what? Because you'd either stay up all night or you just needed more sleep. In this stage of my life, I get up I don't use an alarm. My body gets me up, or my dog, frankly, before the sun comes up. So I don't ever have a problem sleeping in. In fact, some days I wish I could sleep in, but actually, truth be told, I love getting up the earlier the better because I know if I'm not going to work, then I can probably take a nap. So that's the stage of life I'm in now. And I imagine the older I get, the earlier I'll wake up. I think my mom gets up usually between 4 and 5 o'clock every morning. So
on purpose. So for me, I think the sweet spot is somewhere between 6 a.m. and like 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chef's
kiss.
Eight feels
a little late to me.
Oh, yeah.
I know. That would be sleeping in.
That'd be like, what did I do yesterday?
Right. Exactly. Why does everything hurt?
Holly, I know we had someone call in. Did they have any particular take on the question up for debate, what a normal wake up time is?
Yeah. Well, they, shared that it's affected by work schedule, which they said they get up at about 4:30 in the morning. We also got a tweet from Panda saying that when they open on their shift at work, they wake at about 5 to 6 a.m. Wake up, not get up, right? Yeah. You have to physically get out of bed, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're ready to take on the day.
Okay, so then that's another good question. Like, how long do you lay in bed with your eyes open thinking about getting out of bed before you get out of bed?
Not long. I try to get out as quickly as humanly possible, because otherwise...
Me too. You got to move before you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right? Otherwise, mm-hmm. you'll stay there forever.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like and a nice cinnamon bun.
Also, you're not doing anything if you're just laying there. So move.
That's true.
Get out of bed.
Get some stuff done.
And mostly, I have a dog that's like, I want to go outside. So let's move it along.
Come on.
TikTok.
Well, I'm so happy that so many people wanted to talk
asleep.
About.
They're still asleep.
Yeah.
I will say that I actually, nobody cares about my life schedule, but I actually get up later during the week than I do on the weekend, because I get up early to work out on the weekend. So I get up even earlier on the weekend than I do during the week, which is slightly disturbing, and I don't know what that says.
That is backwards.
Although I will say I do take naps on the weekend in a way I don't during the week. Nobody cares.
Right.
But again, I am a napper. I live with someone who does not nap, and he gets up super early during the week and then sleeps in on the weekend like a normal human being.
We did get this. We did get a tweet from Gakbrit, who said, with work from home, I log in at 8. 7:30 has been working for me.
That's got to be nice, bananas. Right?
Oh, just roll out of bed, grab your coffee. You can stay in your jammies.
Or think about
coffee time.
All the people who just kind of sit up in their bed, grab their laptop, and go to work.
Oof. You know what? I have to say this. I am very grateful for the fact that we came in during the pandemic, that we never lost that routine.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, you know, at least, like, you kind of have to change your underwear, get out of bed.
Yes.
What?
You cut out.
We're filling in the blanks, putting on underwear, you know.
Oh, what did I say? What did I say when you filled in the blanks?
You didn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
That's why we filled in. That's why we filled in.
So from the perfect wake-up time, if you had a your own, you know, if you could wave a magic wand, Colleen, what would be the perfect time to wake up each day?
6:54 a.m.
Okay, why 6:54?
Well, because it's just before 7, but it's not close to 6.
I don't know.
But somewhere between 6:30 and 7. That would be my perfect, ideal wake-up time. But I don't think I could be dressed until about 7:45.
All right. Just got to have some jammy time.
Jammy coffee time.
When we come back, we're going to have some dramsy time. That is DWTS drams. That is Dancing with the Stars drama that Colleen will share with us. All about some blind item info we shared. Was this, or actually listeners shared blind item info with us.
Yeah, it was shared with us.
Yeah. So we'll share that with you when we return right here on My Talk 107.1. The gossip is about to get real juicy here on the Colleen and Bradley Show. I'm Bradley Trainer. That's Colleen Lindstrom. And we've got some drama from the Dancing with the Stars, courtesy of Colleen Lindstrom and listeners. Colleen, where did this little juicy bit of gossip come from?
Okay, well, so there's some, like, suspicious stuff happening with this particular TikTok.
Okay.
So first it was sent to us on the 16th of October, which I believe was Sunday.
Okay.
We got a tweet from our friend Panda. Hi, Panda.
Hi.
And it's from a TikToker named Jane. And Jane basically shares... and I don't know if Jane works on the set of Dancing with the Stars, but like shared some gossip from the set of Dancing with the Stars and says, me working on the set of Dancing with the Stars, and then basically goes on to tell the story about how there is a dance pair on the show. The male pro is not allowing his wife to visit them on set, and when you walk by the trailer, you hear the male pro and the woman he's dancing with, the celebrity he's dancing with, getting real giggly. And the two of them are probably doing it, is basically... Okay,
sexy
then...
D-dubs.
Mm-hmm. Then, the rumor was that it was Olivia Jade Giannulli.
And daughter of Lori Loughlin.
Correct. And Val Schmurkowski. Now, Val has been married to Jenna Johnson since April of 2019. Jenna Johnson is the partner on Dancing with the Stars of JoJo Siwa.
Oh.
So essentially, cool. this sort of blindy itemy thing is saying, like, Jenna is not allowed to go anywhere near his trailer because he's doing it with Olivia Jade.
Like, how do you do that? Okay. Like, honey, you are not allowed to come see me at my place of work.
Okay.
I'm going to get sexy over here.
It gets real shadier, you guys.
Oh.
Because this gal, Jane, who shared this TikTok, first of all, blocked Olivia Jade from it, but also has made it private because I just tried to click on it and you can't get to it. Okay. Oh.
Somebody came for her.
You can't see it. But Olivia Jade, she went to TikTok and she had some stuff to say about it.
What did she talk about?
Well, I'm going to tell you. She basically was like, this is ridiculous. First of all, this person blocked me, so I had to get it from somebody else. But I just want to clear the air before this goes any further or this video blows up anymore. She said, first of all, the woman that posted it blocked me. Someone had to send me this video. I'm just going to be super blunt and straight up and just say Val and I are not hooking up. We've never hooked up. This is a complete rumor. We are genuinely good friends, and I adore his wife. It's just a dance show, and we're just friends. I don't know why everything has to be something, but I've already obviously seen a ton of negative comments.
Everything has to be something. Oh, that is truer words, honey. Truer words about the world we live
welcome
in. Why does everything got to be something?
And then she said, and I get it if it was true, but it's not. So let's just end this here and let's bleeping dance and have fun on this show and not create lies, especially when you also have almost 400,000 followers. It's not cool.
Okay. I also think that, like, someone who lied to all of us is pretty rich telling us that someone else shouldn't lie. Anyway, I have a question. Right.
Yeah. How's that really going for you, honey?
I have answers.
So for the record, this woman never named them. It was just implied, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it wasn't even implied.
The fact that you responded to it tells me that you're a little sense of boonies, as we say in my family.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting, right? Because it was only in the comments that people were guessing. And I vaguely recall hearing a blind item about somebody who jumped from one scandal to another. And that sounds like it would be Olivia Jade, a separate blind item, not this TikTok.
Okay. Yeah.
So I know that there have been other blind items about her kind of scandal hopping, shall we say. She's a scandal hopper.
Well,
it was indicating that she might be involving herself with Val.
She's a YouTuber. There is a genre of YouTuber, I think, that fully indulges in these scandals, these, you know, drama experiences. And, like, that's why I think that's what she's doing. She's just stirring up drama, which no doubt is a good thing for her in terms of publicity or getting the word out. Like, we're talking about her on Dancing with the Stars, blah, 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 right? We're getting the word out about her. She knows how this game is played. Again, this is a woman who went on the Red Table Talk to talk about the fact that her mother, you know, with her knowing, indulged in some illegal behavior.
To college.
Can I share a new celebrity gossip?
Oh my God! Yes.
And then I have to tell you how this all showed up last night on Dancing with the Stars. Oh. Okay, let's go. Blinded
by the item. With how much your publicists are making, feeding stories to the tabloids about this A-literate actress, the pressure was on. to keep the...
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Spring competing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
Lori Loughlin.
Basically, this is saying that Lori Loughlin, that the pressure is on to keep her on Dancing with the Stars, Olivia Jade, so that Lori Loughlin can keep getting some work.
Yeah, and Lori Loughlin wants to end up being on Dancing with the Stars, so she has to launder her daughter's reputation in order to make that happen.
Okay, well, let me tell you what happened last night on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay. My God, was there drama?
Dancing?
Of course there was drama. There was dancing, and then there was an elimination, and you got down to the final two, and there are four judges, and the judges all vote which one of the two bottom couples they want to stay. And if there's a tie, then Len Goodman, because he's the head judge, will break the tie.
Okay.
Okay, so he basically gets the deciding vote. So really it just comes down to Len. Well, the two lowest couples were Olivia J. Gianulli and Mel C. from
Spice Girls,
who I adore. I think she's fantastic. And guess who Len saved?
Jade Gianulli. Olivia Jade Gianulli.
Which is dumb, but also tells you that this is working.
Oh, and it's all fake.
It's thank you.
Fake belief.
So it's funny that you say that, because I had that moment last night where my daughter and I were watching. And when they're giving out the scores, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is all fake. Why did it take me so long to realize it? Also, I can't even with Tyra Banks anymore. Okay. I cannot with her.
Well, thank you for doing the Lord's work by continuing to watch. When we return, we've got celebrities behaving badly. We like to call them
D-bags.
And we'll do that right here on My Talk 107.1. You want me to touch? You're the reason I believe in love. Celebrities get on our nerves constantly. But instead of bitching about them all day, we just create a whole segment around them, and then we can, you know, get it out, move on, and share better stories about puppy dogs and pizza. Here on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live, doing everything entertainment. Oh, also, by the way, please make sure you rush out online and get Project Down and Dirty construction tickets. Colleen, please just tell people why it's so important they get those tickets now.
Oh, boy, it's important for so many reasons. Number one, you get to get out of the house and watch us do fun things. Also, I've heard that you will get the opportunity to purchase things to watch us smash. But also, and most importantly, all the proceeds of Project Down and Dirty, as in years past, will go to a number of amazing, worthy charities. And I know you'll be hearing a little bit more about the charity we'll be working with tomorrow on the Colleen and Bradley Show.
We got a live interview for you, so tune in. Stay tuned right now, though. Get right to them, crazy. Nope. D. What?
Bags.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag.
Crazy, stupid D-bags.
I mean, some days.
D-what?
D-bags.
Okay. All right.
Who's
Rebel
D-bag?
Wilson. Rebel Wilson.
Oh, fun. What's Rebel Wilson up to?
Okay, I can't right now. We're going to do a quiz. Okay?
Oh, God.
Nope. You guys know all these answers. You've been preparing for this all year.
Okay, let me get my number two pencil.
Oh, it's you'll want a number two. Rebel Wilson usually when we talk about her, why do we talk about her?
Well, because really the only narrative about Rebel Wilson in the last year and a half, take our word for it, because we've been following this trajectory, is that she had a 60-pound weight loss. And occasionally we would hear about a project she was working on, but mostly it revolved around her body image.
And who do we believe was driving those stories?
Honestly, it became very clear as astute followers of the pop culture stream that her people were very much pushing heavily in tabloids and beyond this narrative about her, you know, her health.
Okay. Next part of the quiz. Thank you. You passed part one. Part two, I believe it was last week, I brought a story about an actor who asked that we stop speaking about his weight. His name is Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
I also brought up a very famous musician who also had some things to say about how people reacted to her weight loss. Her name is Adele. I asked a question in that moment. I wonder if Rebel Wilson is listening to this conversation.
Mm. No.
And I ask you, do you think Rebel Wilson was listening to that conversation?
No.
Yes, she was. And she was like, ooh, time for me to change my tune. What? And that is why she is my D-bag.
Oh my goodness.
I know. In a new interview with Australia's Daily Telegraph, the 41-year-old actor, which by the way, that age is up for debate, but we're not going to talk about that. She has opened up about how she has mostly received media attention around her change in physical appearance, despite her multiple work-related successes. Quote, in 2019, I had like four movies come out, two which I produced and one, Jojo Rabbit, which I got nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture. Yet I get more press the following year when I do nothing except lose weight. When I was at my heaviest, I also had the most international attention on me. She's apparently frustrated with the fixation on her body, even though she understands why the public is so drawn to it. Quote, people are so obsessed with weight, but I get it. Oprah is one of my heroes. What? She certainly struggled.
Did she just throw Oprah under the bus?
Oh, she did. Yeah. She certainly struggled with eating issues, and I would always watch her episodes when
Oprah
she spoke about that.
What does Oprah have to do with
this story? I know. But here's what we're seeing right now is her trying to pivot into shaming us for paying attention to the things she wanted us to pay attention to her for.
Yeah, trust us, dear audience, when I tell you that my feed has been bombarded with all these stories about her weight loss. Now, it's not to say that she has directed all of them. She may want to check in with her PR people. But also, not just the tabloid coverage, because you could, you know, write off some of those as just like the tabloids being obsessed with women's bodies. But I will say, the coverage of her weight loss was always about her amazing weight loss. It was always positive, which is why it indicates to me that like her people were pushing these stories because, you know, that because that's a positive telling of the tale. It's not the media's obsession with like they weren't. It was clear that this was something intentional on her part. In interviews, she talked about it, but it wasn't just the media, which I said you could write off part of that as just what the media normally does. But her social media, like if you followed, as we did, because you're welcome, we had nothing better to do during the pandemic. We followed this whole narrative about her weight loss that she shared, about her trips to Switzerland to do that Myers-Briggs method.
Yep. Where you, she number two'd five times a day.
Where you literally just had to like your way to a better life. And then there, remember, she was pushing that relationship that she was in on social media. Like yes. She was posting all about her, you know, like, which we constantly criticize because we're like, girl, you're so much more than your weight loss. Like, I get it. Have your moment, but then move on. And she had a year of health in 2019. But it's now 2021.
Yep.
And yes, all of you've been doing actual stuff. But if people were to go back and follow your social media, I mean, it was clear that that's what you wanted people to talk about, which, again, I get it. You need attention because that gets you work. That's what a celebrity's life is. And they're, you know, sometimes it's slim pickings, right?
Like, no pun intended.
Right? Like, you have to create a story. I know. I was going to just, like, move on because that's awkward.
I couldn't let it go.
But you have to create the story because otherwise they're going to create it for you. So I get that, like, transformational weight loss is a great story to tell. And you get to, you know, talk about all of the amazing things that led you on this journey. It's a good talking point. It gets you out there. But at a certain point, you got to transition into something else. And she seemed to have a tough time doing that. And now it's interesting that she's like, God, you guys are just so obsessed with me.
I think she has Jonah Hill and Adele to thank because I don't think she could have taken this hard pivot any other way, but it still stinks. I mean, it still smells, and the action of like taking the pivot and then shaming us for caring about the thing that she was telling us to care about and then saying, I did all this other stuff too. And we've been saying all along, girl, you're more than just your weight loss.
But like when she says, like, I understand people's, you know, I get it. I'm like, that's like gaslighty. Because now you're you're shaming us for something you were telling us about and then telling us you understand why we were obsessed with it. Even though we weren't. We literally were not.
Also, kudos to our friend Panda, who sent a tweet. Haha, I saw this Rebel Wilson story last night and thought, incoming Lady D-Bag.
Yes, queen, because you know how it works.
You know us.
On the Colleen and Bradley show. Hey, my D-Bag is Hillary.
Oh.
Not Clinton.
Hillary Baldwin.
Hilaria.
Oh, I'm like, there's so many Hillarys to choose from.
Hillary?
Cucumber.
How do you say Hillary Cucumber Baldwin is my D-bag today for this headline on peoplemagazine.com? Hilaria Baldwin poses makeup free in a bra while surrounded by her six children, just as we are.
No.
So, no. I am a bitch. So please understand that and accept it as I share the following words.
I have been for a decade.
I do not understand why the world is so obsessed with this individual such that she is able to get such amazing headlines in People magazine, right? Like, it's not that she has a project that I'm aware of that she's currently, you know, trying to get the word out about. It's literally just a no makeup selfie with her kids. And it's delightful. I mean, her children are beautiful. She's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she is one of those few people who is gifted with, like, she doesn't have to pull a Khloe Kardashian and apply, you know, face filters in order to create an image of herself. She just is who she is. And I mean, I'm not saying Khloe isn't those things. It's just that she can just be who she is and it's fine. And her family is beautiful and she can post these photos on Instagram. But for some reason, maybe people should be my D-bag because I don't understand their obsession with her other than, you know, I don't know, than what she might be doing as her chosen career, which isn't actually a part of the story. It's literally just about, and I'll read the caption for you at a certain point, but it literally is just a story about her Instagram post.
I feel like, okay, so I haven't fully baked this thought, but go along with me. I think one of the reasons why people gives her the attention that they give her has something to do with the fact that People is really hooked into SponCon, and so is she, right? So, like, in order to, like, I think that I see, like, like an easy partnership with people who are desperate for SponCon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as a magazine that publishes links, you know, for, you know, like, I mean, and they're not alone. I'm not trying to single out People. People's just doing what everybody else does. But specifically, People magazine loves to put these, what do we call those things again?
SponCon,
but like links that will link back to products and they'll get a portion of the proceeds of the sale from whatever products those are. So yeah, to your point,
affiliate links.
Affiliate links. Thank you. She, you know, has things to sell. They like to sell things on behalf of celebrities, but literally it's just a post from her Instagram.
Right.
Wherein she thanks the woman who took the photo of her, again, a beautiful photo of her and her family. And she says, you know, thank you for capturing a no makeup No hair zhuzh moment. Just as we are.
Also, I don't buy that for 1 second.
No, I mean, I didn't want to be the obvious. I didn't want to say that.
I'll do it. But she lied.
Like I said, I'm a biatch. But, you know, I didn't even want to go after the photo because it's an adorable family photo.
Well, it is. It's a beautiful photo. But also, yeah.
But, you know, she thought very long and hard. Mm-hmm. And there were probably about 50,000 photos that she then selected this one from. Mm-hmm. Which we all do. But guess what? They're not putting that in People magazine. Mm-mm. We're not married to Alec Baldwin. I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, that's true.
Nor are we an American podcast. Oh, wait. And we are American podcasters. Because in this article,
but we are
at the
not
top,
yoga instructors.
It labels her as Hillary Baldwin, American podcaster, author, and yoga instructor. Well, Holly's a yoga instructor. That's we are American podcasters, and technically we're authors. I mean, I've written stuff, so have you. So
yeah,
we're all we of write those things. Things. Where's our article in People?
I think that's our Bitter! Next frontier. Also, can I just say, of her adorable children, they all have Alec Baldwin's face.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable just to see, like, how many.
They do have that family thing. Like, some families more than others look similar.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you look at my family, I don't think any of us look alike, but you look at some families and you're like, oh, I see the resemblance.
I see how all those people go together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all look a little bit like Alec Baldwin.
All right, well, from bitchy Instagram posts and celebrity zhuzhing, we now need to go to Creepy Town because it's
fun.
Spooky season, and we're getting scary for Halloween. With a little story about Michael Jackson's passport application. Ooh. We come back right here on My Talk 107.1. Colleen and Bradley show as we wrap up the second hour. Don't worry, you got a whole nother hour. However, right now, we need to talk about Michael Jackson's passport application.
Oof. Cookies.
I know, it's weird, you guys, and I'm sorry. I didn't want to have to tell you this story, but I'm going to.
Thanks.
You're welcome. It's a public service. Michael Jackson's passport application is up for sale, and I know you were hoping you could purchase it. There's a story itself about this, which is mildly interesting, which is why I brought it to you. But I do also have a question about this story. Also, I need to understand who's buying this thing. Because the story is, Michael Jackson's passport application, specifically from the early 90s, is up for sale. And it is up for sale for a cool $75,000.
Holy buckets.
At something called Moments in Time, which, by the way, I was over at that website, momentsintime.com, and you can buy, like, really amazing things on paper. Like, for example, an unobtainable handwritten letter by Galileo.
What?
How do they check that?
I don't know. They also have an archive of Berlin's iconic God Bless America. Irving Berlin, what? I'm assuming. They have... what?
They have, just... This is bonkers.
They have the Beatles agree to John Eastman's management letter. So anyway, they've got a bunch of these paper documents.
Also, listen, I do not trust any of this anymore after I saw that movie with that woman, that super funny woman.
Melissa McCarthy. Whose name I...
Thank you. What's it called? I'm Sorry for Everything?
Close enough.
I just called to say I'm sorry. I can't remember what it was called, but she forged these documents, and I don't trust anything anymore.
Okay, well, you're not going to be buying the $75,000 Michael Jackson passport application, but somebody can, and that begs a question. Here is my question. What? How can you do this specifically?
Why?
Why? Thank you, Julia. Apparently, Michael Jackson lost his passport in the early 90s. And much like you and I, if we did the same thing, we would have to fill out an application for a replacement. Mm-hmm. That is the application then that is going up for sale at Moments in Time. Excuse me, but how did they get their hand? Somebody at the federal government give this over?
No, like, I have a question. Did it ever get approved?
Well, that's my question. Like, did he just, like, stop and, like, decide not to do it, and it was just laying around his stuff?
It's like, meh. I don't need to do this.
But you can see the photo of it. And also his photos, you know, it's Michael Jackson. He went to like CVS and got that. Well, it's probably Walgreens or something. By the way, Costco used to do that. They don't do that anymore. Yeah,
the Rite Aid in Los Angeles does that. You go there and you get some ice cream and make it an afternoon.
Here's a true story. You can do them yourself now.
Can you really?
On your own phone. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
I know.
And then where do you send them?
To the passport people.
You don't have to print them out?
No, you have to print them out.
Oh, where do you do
can,
that?
I can print photos from my phone.
Yeah, you could probably send them over to CVS and they've got one of those little printing stations.
Yeah.
So before we move on to printing film in the modern age, I do just want to double back to the Michael Jackson story specifically. I don't understand how anybody got their hands on this document, because I would imagine this is a document that was sent to, I mean, it's got the photos and everything and his signature. So did it not ever...
It's like a government document.
Yeah, did it not ever make it to the federal government?
Yeah, maybe it didn't.
I don't know.
Here's a likely story.
Okay.
Is that this application was completed and it went to his business manager's office.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe they were like, we lost it. Can you do it again? Mm. And then somebody was digging through some old documents. And then they were like, oh, okay, well, I've got this thing. And then we go into this place in the valley moments in time. And then we sell it. Yeah. Make a buck.
Okay. There's a lot more to talk about here, you guys, because here's the other thing. First of all, it's signed. And it says underneath it, sign in the presence of a person authorized to accept application, which to me says that he did sign it at the passport office.
Exactly.
And thus it did get submitted. Also, can we talk about something else?
Hmm.
What year was this?
1993, I think.
Okay. Okay. So this one, okay. Because I'm looking at, like, have you ever been married? He checked no. Which made me wonder, what year was he married to Lisa Marie Presley, allegedly?
I think a few years after that.
Okay, so it was after that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, fine. Fine. Then I'm willing to let that go.
1994.
Okay, so right after that. Okay.
Yeah, he did not put his phone number down, though. So maybe it just never...
Maybe he didn't have
one. Also, how does Michael Jackson lose? Because he allegedly lost... If you guys are just joining us and wondering, what the heck are they talking about? Michael Jackson lost his passport in the early 90s, and somehow somebody ended up in possession of the application for the replacement. And it is now up for sale for the cool low price of $75,000. $1,000, and we have lots of questions and no answers whatsoever. There are some other bits of this document that have not been filled out.
Maybe he found it.
Well, there's some redacted parts too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right, Holly. Maybe he did. Maybe he found.
Oh, that's true.
Here's the other thing. I'm also thinking Michael Jackson, he hired somebody to hold an umbrella for him. He had to have had a passport person.
Well, yeah, but that was the question. Like, how do you lose your passport? So you think he just gave it to a guy and...
Yeah, and then the guy was like, oops, sorry, Michael.
I lost your passport. And then that guy got fired.
Ooh.
Like the next day.
This, I will just say, if you are intrigued at all by old documents and other stuff, like old items that celebrities had, like, there are some really interesting bits and pieces on this Moments in Time website.
Oh, man. One time I almost bought Jerry Lewis's driver's license at an auction.
Oh, my God. Bury the lead.
I know.
God.
And why didn't you?
How can we stop the segment now? But we have to.
We can't. We're on the train.
When we come back, Pizza's Court is in session with a very specific question. Does bacon belong on pizza? We're kicking off the third hour of the Colleen and Bradley Show with that very important question.